Welcome to another Carlo Blade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've had another LA test finish with, and unfortunately we lost.
It is unfortunate. I'm not a great follower of cricketer, as you know, but I did see some stats, and I was surprised when I saw the stats about the big difference in Australia versus India in terms of win-loss here.
Yep.
And I mean, India to me are a powerhouse of cricket, but it seems that in Australia they normally don't aren't as successful.
Well, with the population they have in India, obviously it's hugely popular over there. They would have more spectators and cricket interest in their home country than anywhere in the world, and they dominate in India because obviously they can the conditions suit them. They play to their conditions and they manicure their ground so that it suits them, and I suppose every country does it to their advantage, but we Australia didn't have the advantage this time and we lost.
Well, it was a close game, and Australia haven't been in great shape, have they? So there's been a lot of talk about that. Great to see Travis Head playing and
yep.
playing well.
Yes.
And so the other interesting thing was, of course, last year, I think it was the first time it was a day-night, and they used the pink ball.
Well, they've had it for a couple of years. New Zealand and the year before that, they had it as well. So they're not doing it this year. They broke with the tradition. I think India didn't want to play a night test here.
And why do you think that would be the case?
Again, because of home ground advantages. They probably perceived that as being too great a disadvantage for India, or they just probably wanted to ruffle our feathers.
Yeah. So tell me about the test then.
Well, look, India batted first. They scored 250, which I thought was an achievable target. Pujara scored a century, 123, which turned out to be the only century of the whole test. And the next best for India was 37, so he obviously saved the innings for them, scored almost half their runs. And for the bowlers, Josh Hazlewood got 3 for 52, and we had a trifecta of two wicket takers in Stark, Cummins and Nathan Lyon, who had a very good test. In reply, we scored 235, so we're 15 runs short. But the good news story was Travis Head. He top scored with 72. The next best was Haskone with 34. Now, Head faced 167 balls and had 6-4, so magnificent innings by him. India, they had a spread of the bowlers, taking a couple of wickets each. No one really stood out with the bowling. India, in their second innings, they got 307, which was the highest one-inning score for the test. They had two half-centuries. Pujara got 71 to go with his century, and Mahani got 70. Nathan Lyon, magnificent with the ball, 6 for 122.
Wow.
Stark got 3 for 40. So it's evenly poised there, in a sense. But Australia, they fought on. Sean Marsh got 60. And overnight on the fourth day, Head was on 11, but unfortunately fell for 14 the following day. To be successful, Australia would have to have the highest last day chase in history at Adelaide Oval. They needed 323 on the day. The record was 315 against England, where Australia chased down and won in 1902.
1902.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
You were that match?
No, I think I wasn't born then, but my grandfather wasn't born then, so no, I wasn't. But, the unfortunate thing is that we fell a little bit short, but we really fought the game out. We had a last wicket, 10th wicket stand of 32 runs between Hazlewood and Lyon. Hazlewood ended up with 13 when he got out. And Lyon not out 38 to go with his not out 24 in the first innings.
So that's a good Lyon, obviously played very well, 8 wickets and some runs. And it's great. Travis Head has probably, hopefully, we hope, cemented his place in the team for the rest of the series.
Well, no, in the second test he started off with a half century in the first inning. So it's looking good for the kid, and it's good for Gawler because he played his sport here as a youngster. So that's a good sign. Now, just out of interest, India... That's their first win in an opening test in Australia, and it's only their seventh test victory in Australia, and it's only the second ever series lead they've held, and they've never won a series here. So some pretty interesting statistics.
It is interesting, and let's hope that Australia can get back on top in this next test and even the score.
Yeah, well, look, there's a four-test series. But, you know, this test series at Adelaide Oval, the test game at Adelaide Oval, was very interesting because it reminded people a little bit of cricket in the 60s and the early 70s, the way it was played. It was a slower game, a little bit more tactical, rather than the 2020 mentality where you just hit out. There was more value on the wickets. And because it went for the 5 days, and you know,
we were down to the wire too.
Yeah, yeah. So it was sort of, you know, we lost, but it was a meritorious loss in the sense that we fought it out. There was a lot of good signs.
But there was none of the openers really in either of the innings batted that well, made a lot of runs, did they?
No, it was one of those games where there was battlers, there was people that contributed right through from both sides. But, you know, when you look at the bowling for India, you know, there was like four guys got 2 wickets each in the first innings of Australia, and I think there were 3 bowlers got 3 wickets each in the second innings. The only standout bowler, obviously, was Lyon with his 6 feet in the second innings. So it was one of those games where it was fairly evenly spread, even the batters. In the second inning for Australia, there was double-figure partnerships right through the lineup, whereas no one sort of had a breakout score. 60, you know, by Marsh was the highest score, but you know there was contribution. So when everyone contributes with the ball and the bat, it makes a very exciting Test game to watch.
And it shows with Pujara, doesn't it? If you've got that batter who can make the century and stay in there and make some runs. Because in the end, that was the difference.
Absolutely.
And we just didn't, I mean, so Travis in the first innings had a great knock, 72, and he was probably our standout there. But again, if you don't have the top order make some runs, and they make runs quickly, it seems a little bit easier for the middle order to come in and actually hit the ball around and make a few more runs. But in both cases, that wasn't the case. So we really need to have a couple of our batsmen stand up and make some big scores.
I think traditionally with India, they ride the spinners a little bit, but their fast bowling is probably one of the best they've brought to Australia for many, many years, and they're sort of up to our standard with the fast bowling, so that sort of gives them that slight advantage with guys like Pujara scoring the century and everything like that. That's what Australia didn't have. We didn't have that big run maker, that consistent run maker that we've had in the past with your Ponting and your Borders and your people like that. So that sort of set us back on an even keel a little bit with India. But there was promising signs, I believe, that we can sort of go ahead and you know, equal or win the series.
And we had some other young guys in their first test, was that correct?
Yeah, there were a few, but it's sort of the turnover of the Australian side at the moment is probably equivalent to like when Border was captain, when Australia was building. So there's probably a sense that there's a rebuild going on, and they're trying to sort of find those combinations that can cement a foundation going forward.
Who do you think we can look for? I mean, who do you think can stand up and make some runs?
Well, obviously, with my bias, I like to see Head sort of take that sort of leading role. But he's a good batter, but I don't think he's the exceptional batter, like a Ponting, for argument's sake. I can't see anyone sort of that ilk sort of in the wing. So we've got to sort of have the consistent batters. We need like 4 or 5 guys making half centuries on a consistent basis.
Because there's been a lot of talk about, obviously, Steve Smith and Dave Warner. And like, it seems like people are hanging out for them to return. And so that's not that far away.
No, it's not. But you can't take that for granted. I mean, with that suspension, 12 months out of the game, et cetera, it could go 2 ways. They could bust or they could excel. I mean, hopefully, especially with Smith, he'll sort of get back and he'll sort of be that guiding light we need. But... you know, you don't know which way it's going until they're back. I mean, what's the psychology of it going to be like? You know,
it'll be interesting, isn't it? Because you think with Dave Warner in there, I mean, he gets a lot of criticism, but he can make runs
early, yeah,
and fast, and yeah, and all of a sudden puts the bowlers on the back foot. And then Steve Smith last summer, His anchor was just unbelievable, wasn't he? Like, he was so reliable, and he would just be in there making runs and just holding on to his wicket.
Well, you know, you're dead right. I mean, like, Warner's a guy that can give you the start that, you know, he'll get a quick fire, 20 runs at least, and that sort of sets the tone. He's a tone setter, whereas Smith is an anchor, and currently we just don't have that in the side, and you know, we've been exposed.
And our bowling, like, there's a lot of talk before the test saying pretty much our bowling lineup is probably, if not the best in the world, certainly equivalent to the best.
Yeah, look, you know, so many of these guys have developed, and that's what we need with the batters to develop. I mean, you got Hazelwood, who's been around the track for a little while, and he's sort of like starting to cement himself as a senior bowler in the squad. And then you've got Stark, obviously. Lyon, sort of, he's that perfect sort of foil for the fast bowlers, and he sort of likes, you know, he gets the wickets. He's not like a Shane Warne, but he's probably an 80% like Shane Warne, but he's the type of bowler that you need to contrast with the faster bowling.
Definitely, and we've always had that, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've had some type of spinner that can do that.
Yeah, so you go back in time and sort of you look at the successful teams, especially in Australia, and they have that combination of a couple of quicks, change of pace, medium pace at least. Then they have a couple of good openers. Gilchrist comes to mind readily as an absolute champion in that regard. Then you have your number three, number four type, which was set in place with Bradman and sort of has continued a tradition right through, but we just don't seem to have that guy at the moment. Whether Head is that guy or not, I'm not so sure, but I think he will be a valuable player for the team. But I can't see him taking that role. Although you've seen it in 2020 and for South Australia where he has done it.
And he's still a young guy. Adam Gilchrist, in fact, the other day on listening to him, he had great raps for Travis, and he said, you know, he was really pleased that he was in the team, and he said exactly that he thought he was the future. He was a big part of the future. So I thought that was good to hear.
Well, I'm probably a little bit apprehensive because having experienced, David Hawkes and Darren Lehman over the years, and even Cozzy recently, you know, you put all your eggs in the one basket hoping for a South Australian to stand up, and they do, but they don't get the opportunity. So you're a little bit wary. You don't want to put too much pressure on a Travis Head. Let him go. Let him develop. And don't put the pressure on that we put on these other guys, because at the end of the day, we're South Australia. We're a small fish in the cricketing marketplace. So we just need to hope that that Travis sort of come through for us.
Well, let's wish him luck. What was the crowd like? I mean, it was a couple of things probably going against people turning up. One was the temperature.
Yeah.
Well, we had 39 degrees.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the trains went up and running.
Well, that was a big disappointment. I normally like to go to, you know, one, maybe 2 days of the Adelaide test. And the only time I had free was basically on the Sunday. And I was offered six tickets. Six different people offered me tickets because they didn't want to go because the trains were out. And I'm not going to drive to Adelaide to watch cricket. I like to catch the train. The buses, I had a mate tell me it took them over 2 hours to go from Gawler on the bus. So I wasn't keen on the buses. I just like, if I'm going to Adelaide Oval, hop on the train, walk across the bridge. So convenient. It's brilliant the way they've done it. So to knock out the train for that weekend was a big mistake.
Well, you think the Indian crowds would have cared if it was in India? They would have been on buses for hours, walking maybe, hot, humid weather. That wouldn't have stopped them. Do you reckon our spectators were a bit soft, do you think?
No, I think it comes down to volume. I mean, in India, they probably have 10 times as many people that go to a test game wanting to go to a test game. And I think that happened a little bit here. We had good crowds overall. And I think a lot of first-timers or people that rarely go managed to go because tickets were available. People had their memberships and they didn't want to go on those days when it was no trains, et cetera. So they made them available. And I think because of that and the fact that a lot of people thought, oh, this is a chance to go, they went.
Well, let's hope that Australia have a good summer.
Yep.
And that they can take this series. And let's hope over in Perth this time they get a win.
All right, well, I'd like to just add Merry Christmas to you, Sean, and all our listeners.
To you and to your family.
And hopefully we may get a sneak in a show before Christmas or the new year, but Other than that, you take good care, mate. This is the end of another Carlin Lake Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.